Today begins a three-year Eucharistic revival that the bishops of the United States have called for. And the bishops want to draw attention to the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist in a situation where they recognize that a lot of Catholics don't believe in the Eucharist anymore. And every authentic reform of the church begins with the Eucharist. And so we begin that 3 years today. But as we look at the miracle in today's gospel, the Gospel of Luke, the multiplication of loaves, it's an important miracle because it connects back to an event in the Old Testament and it points forward to another event. And so what does it connect back to in the Old Testament? Well, Luke says that they were in a deserted place. The word is desert. They were in the desert, which would have reminded the Israelites of when they were in the desert in the Exodus. And they spent 40 years in the desert. And there were 500,000 men plus women and children. And God would feed them every day with miraculous bread that would come down from heaven. And they would get up in the morning and there would be bread spread across the ground. And they would go and pick it up and eat it. And they called it manna. And so the Jews, that continued until the Jews got to the promised land. But they believed that when the Messiah came, that he would bring a new manna. And that the manna would come back, the miraculous bread. And so what Jesus is doing, besides working a miracle, is implicitly claiming that he is the Messiah. Because he's bringing back the new manna. And so this miracle connects back and is, in a way, a fulfillment of what happened with the people of Israel. But if we look at it, if we take a step back, there's a problem with the miracle. In that Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children. But that's actually a lesser miracle than what happened in the Old Testament, where God fed 500,000 men plus women and children, and he did it for 40 years. So that's a problem because Jesus didn't come to do something inferior to what had already happened. If the Old Testament was greater, we wouldn't have needed the New Testament and we wouldn't have needed Christ to come. So there's something that's missing in the miracle. But as we look to what this miracle points forward to, Luke says that Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples. Those are the same words that are going to occur at the Last Supper when Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the apostles. So this miracle is actually pointing forward to the miracle that's going to come at the Last Supper, which is going to be a greater miracle where Jesus changes the bread into his own body. And the reason why it's a greater miracle is because Jesus wanted to not just give us physical bread, something that we would eat and then die, like the people did in Israel with the Exodus. They all still died. He wanted to give us bread that we could eat and live forever. So he wanted to give us bread that would nourish us spiritually and give us divine life, the life of God. And so that's why Jesus says in John chapter 6, whoever eats this bread will live forever. And so that's the miracle we celebrate today, that Jesus brought a miracle that was greater than what happened in the Old Testament. And it's a miracle of a bread that's greater than physical bread. And so when we see this miracle in its proper context, we can see that Jesus is giving us a greater miracle than physical bread. He's giving us his own body and blood. In addition to celebrating Corpus Christi, we also celebrate Father's Day this weekend. So I want to wish a happy Father's Day to all of our fathers and grandfathers who are here. But I also want to pull a few lessons from the Eucharist in terms of fatherhood. And I think that's important because we do have a breakdown of fatherhood within our society. You know, I was reading in an extreme case an article on the Uvalde shooter. And he had said to his grandmother many times, "My father doesn't love me." This was a young man who was very broken. But he's not alone. There is a problem across our country of countless young people who are broken because they don't have a father figure. They don't have a father who loves them. or that they recognize that love. And this is contributing to all sorts of problems that are breaking apart our society. And we hear again and again in popular culture the phrase toxic masculinity. You know, people are downplaying masculinity. Well, what about authentic masculinity? How many voices are talking about what authentic masculinity is, and how many voices are promoting authentic fatherhood? And so I want to take a moment to speak to all of our boys and young men and fathers who are in our parish today. You know, what is authentic manhood, and what is authentic fatherhood? And for that, we need to look to the example of Jesus Christ, because he gives us the perfect example of authentic manhood. And there's three things I want to look at. The first is that Jesus wants to be with his people. He comes to us in the Eucharist so that he can be present physically to his people, because he wants to be with us. It's not enough that he ascended into heaven and we're down here on earth. He wants to be with us. A good father wants to be with his people. And so a father has to spend time with his family. And that doesn't mean just taking his children to the basketball practice or to baseball practice and dropping them off. It means playing basketball with his children. Go out and shoot hoops with them. Go out and play catch with them. Invest time and be fit, not just physically, but also emotionally present to your people, to your family. So the first thing about fatherhood is making a commitment to be present to your people as Jesus does for us in the Eucharist. And the second thing that we can learn from our Lord is to be open to life. Jesus came that we might have life. And so a father needs to be open and to say yes to the gift of life. And so when a young man enters into the sacrament of holy matrimony, part of the marriage vows, he says that he will be open to children. And so fathers say yes to the gift of life. And the third thing that we can learn from our Lord is sacrifice. Jesus offers his life in sacrifice to the Father every time the Mass is offered. That's a call to Christian men to be willing to sacrifice of themselves for those that they love, to sacrifice for the church, to sacrifice for their spouse, and to sacrifice for their children. The more a man is willing to sacrifice for his family, the better father he will be. And so every time we come to Mass and we see the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it should be a reminder of what we're called to do as Christian men, to sacrifice and to place the good of our families and of our church and the people that we love high above our own good. We can't be worried about ourselves. We need to be worried about those we care about and be willing to sacrifice. Fathers are their children's heroes. Boys and girls look up to their fathers, and they need their father's love. And so I encourage us to look to Christ for the example of authentic masculinity, which is the foundation of authentic fatherhood. And that requires virtue, and it requires fidelity to the church and the imitation of Christ. And so as we continue with this Mass, we give thanks for the gift of the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ through which he nourishes us. And we pray for all of our boys, our young men, and our fathers, that they might learn from the example of Christ and follow that example in their willingness to sacrifice and be present to their families.